If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Trying like hell to get my wife to meet me at Jazz. So,
yeah, I'm going to give her a call.
Try to talk her into it. Let's meet for lunch at Jazz for Fat Tuesday. She says, what time?
I mean,
time.
Let me coordinate this date.
What maybe. Time would you like?
Yeah, dear? Whatever. I'm at like 11, so I can get in there right when they open.
I'll be like your buddy.
Get home
like,
and take a nap.
Before. Hey, Susan, what do you think about Steven?
Put me on three-way, and I'm going to listen.
What if he was to ask you out?
The best part is when one time we did that with me and Caesar, and I was trying to ask a girl out. To ask her to homecoming, but I didn't really want to.
Right.
But he wanted me to ask her because she was friends with the girl that he was going to go with, and he did not want to double with somebody.
Oh, that was the worst.
He didn't let, you know.
Yeah.
You ask her, and then we'll go, you know.
Yep.
Recipe. Like, I'm going to listen on three-way.
Recipe for disaster.
But don't tell her I don't like her or anything. Just, you know what I mean?
What if he were to ask her
as a friend?
Yeah. Would you go? Because I said, here's the deal. I'm not asking her with any chance there's a no, because I'm not doing that. Because then it seems like, because I don't even want to go with her to begin with. And so I'm listening on three-way. He goes, Steve's going to ask you to homecoming. He's got a crush on you all year long. and then of course, I wouldn't go with him. I'm like, what are you doing to my reputation?
Double crush.
I got no reputation to begin with, and this is under false pretenses. And then, so then I almost did like a Todd Leibold, and I go, wrong question. Click.
You suck.
Like the Todd with the wrong question in the press conference. No, he's not right. Lying. Wrong. Click. Three-way phone calls were the best.
Party line.
Mm-hmm. I think you got a better chance of this gal going out with you.
Do you? Yeah, but she knows me, so it works against me.
50-50.
Oh, if you lost the Lebo clip, then I will go in there and rip things apart, or so I'm going to erase that thing.
Your first question comes from the line of Lebo Sports Radio 810.
Sorry, wrong. All right, my question.
Right. Sorry, wrong. He didn't mean
wrong date.
How about Khalil Lee? He hit a home run, and then he also talked to Nate Buchanan. That's a hell of a week, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was probably the highlight.
Bucket list for that guy.
Right.
How was fantasy camp this year, man?
Fantasy camp was great, man. Every time I get a chance to go out there and do it, I appreciate it more and more every time I get to go.
I couldn't believe, so when I drove from Scottsdale to Surprise, that was the drive I used to make all the time when I was covering the Royals on a consistent basis, like out there for the whole month, and that is an hour-long drive, and I figured by now they would have put a highway that gets you out there, but you still got to take Bell Road all the way, man.
It's funny, because when I was out there in the Fall League in 95, Randa and I, we were laughing about when we were out there this year, that we carpooled to Peoria from Kierland.
Mm-hmm.
So, same. Either mm-hmm. Greenway or Bell Road the whole way. There was no 101 back then, so wasn't even an option.
Oh, wow.
So, it was, if you catch all the stoplights just right, it might take you 21 minutes. And if you didn't catch any of the stoplights right, it would take you 44 minutes. So we were laughing. And then while we were out there for camp, rounded up some guys, including former Royals catcher John Buck. We made the trek over to the Bird's Nest during the Waste Management Open and watched a little Cody Johnson, Miranda Lambert concert on Wednesday night.
Does Buck live down in Arizona now?
The Bird's Nest sounds like a gentleman's club, by the way.
It, you know what? If you haven't been there for that golf tournament, it's the biggest party going on. But the Bird's
Nest
is
the one golf
tournament
I really want to go to.
Big temp. It's a structure. It's a huge building.
Is it a tent? Are you sure it's a... Because we have an 810 tent that sometimes people...
Yeah.
Aren't sure about.
To rent tents sometimes.
Right.
It's okay.
All right, there at the Sports Radio 810 taint tent.
It was more than a tent.
Do you just drive around fantasy camp listening to What's Your Fantasy? I feel like that's what I would do like the entire time I'm there.
Yeah. So what's Bucky up to? He used to come on our show every week back in the day.
So he's in Utah, I think.
Yeah, that's where he's from originally.
So he's out there with his wife, family, and kids, and doing all that good stuff. So he does long drive stuff. Did you know that?
Like golf long drive contest?
He is a golf long driver. Like last year he was like seven. I'm going to misquote him, but I think he was somewhere in the 50s in the
world. He gave us this gym back in the day.
John, thanks a lot for the time. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks for having me, Squeaks.
Royals catcher John Buckeye.
Squeaks.
I had never really hung around him much, just here, so it was good to get to know him and fun, and he went with us.
Good guy.
Good time. Fun guy.
Yeah.
Really good time that night. Grabbed some campers and Dina, and we had a good time out there, and just a great week. Dina does an amazing job putting it all together. I think there was 106, 108 campers plus 20 of us alumni. They get beat up. There were a couple injuries, as there always are, some blown hamstrings and some...
What was the worst one?
Some pride. One guy hit the bag bad round in second and jacked up his knee.
Did he bite
good.
It?
That was second to last. He, yeah.
Like
it was,
down on the ground? Like
yeah. Cart and
got
stretcher.
Did the knee, huh? The hamstring's not so bad.
It was kind of knee,
you know?
Quad. It was a little camouflage. And he had been there before, so he kind of knew. You worry about
quarter,
the guys
right?
that have never done camp before.
Right.
And that first at-bat, they bust out of the box, tear a hamstring, and then they're kind of screwed for the whole week and spend all that money. So kind of encourage guys to take it easy at camp
it.
Or make sure you get some sprints in and stuff leading up to camp.
Proper calisthenics.
So you don't shoot, you know, out of it right out of the gate. So we had one of our guys did that first at-bat out of the gate, blew a hammy. But
hey,
it was his seventh camp. So
there you go.
Maybe it was just his hamstring was on limited time.
So what did everyone think of of course the Houston Astros are going to be mocked and ridiculed and heckled all throughout baseball this year,
as well they should.
And so during spring, their first game, there were fans with signs.
I liked whoever was banging on the trash can
right.
the first game.
But
that's
I mean, this
fabulous.
Wasn't even bad. It's like the Houston asterisks, right? And
yeah.
So, and that's pretty good, right?
Pretty
that's not bad.
Creative.
And so they had Houston personnel had people, and ironically enough, stealing their signs
yeah.
and taking the signs away. And so Houston, again, stealing signs, this time literally yeah. stealing the fan signs.
They've got an uphill battle.
Well,
they got an uphill battle all year. I mean, that's never going to stop. You're going to get booed. They're going to get
just
hit.
Let them have, though. I'm like, if it's like profanity or whatever, that's
sure.
fine. If it's something like that, that's witty, and why are you fighting that?
When I went out
Come
to,
on.
I told you guys back before the suspensions got handed down that everybody I was hearing from in baseball is like, these people are mad. These people in baseball are mad. At the Astros, they haven't liked the Astros for a long time anyway. Now they really don't like the Astros. And everything the Astros have done since this whole thing has made them just dislike them more.
Yeah.
When I got out there, I was talking to people, and they're like, man, because then Dusty Baker comes out and goes, they better protect our players. Well, none of your guys got suspended. Nobody got punished in terms of the players. And all the other players are mad about that. And so there is an element of frontier justice or whatever they want to call it in baseball.
Wow.
And that's going to happen. And then he goes out. I mean, I had a cousin I grew up with who was the master at when the parents weren't looking, he would trip you from behind or something, provoke you into doing something. And then if you turned around
My
and decked
kind of
him,
guy.
He would run off to the parents and go, he hit me, he mm-hmm. hit me. And nobody wanted to hang out with that cousin,
That's
right?
That's the kid that gets murdered.
The Astros are that kid, right? Like, they just did something. They cheated a bunch. Nothing happened to them. And now they're running and hiding behind Major League Baseball and saying, nobody better hit us. And that's just making everyone even more angry at him. You know what right, Bluma?
Well, and nobody's really said we're sorry, you know,
right.
in the whole scheme of things. It's like, well, you know, we did some things. Own it. I remember when Giambi had gotten busted, but nobody exactly knew what for on the whole steroids thing. And he had a press conference and said, you know, I'm sorry. For what? I don't know, man. I'm just sorry.
Right?
He got ahead of it, and he said he was sorry, and that was that, you know? And nobody really, I don't know, you don't think about him when you think about steroids a little bit. You don't think about Giambi so much. I think about Jeremy more than I think about Jason.
And I've said this many times in the past. Jake will... I've said this for years and years, and even though she doesn't have the regular show that she did, I still think that this is what they do. When you do something wrong in this country, you go to Oprah Winfrey.
That's right.
And you do a show with her, and you tell Oprah you're sorry.
And yep.
then you're
it's
telling
okay.
then you're telling the country you're sorry.
That's right.
And then if Oprah says, you know what, they're sorry, you know, we should forget. They go, oh, well, Oprah, okay then.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone yep. would do something, right?
Yep.
You know, you either go talk to David Letterman, Jay Leno or whatever. But, you know, you go on Oprah. You go, I did yep. this, and I'm sorry. The Astros should just find Oprah and go on Oprah. Go with Oprah and say, Oprah, we're sorry.
Is there anybody that's, I mean, she's not on the air anymore. Is there anybody currently on the air that you could go on that would be the equivalent of Oprah? I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
Ellen?
Yeah, you know, if you told Ellen, if you told Ellen you were sorry, yeah. Ellen yeah. signed off on
she'd
it. I think
probably
you'd
razz
yeah.
you about it a little bit, right. too.
Yeah, but,
there.
That, but that's part of it. You got to get sure. razzed a little
and
bit.
Then you, and then the clown would jump out from a table and scare the Astros. Like, oh, no! You know, an umpire, you know.
The Astros to get out and dance right. around right. the crowd for a little bit. But just own it.
She might even have the old Houston Asterix sign in studio. I like that.
Have a sense of humor about it. Wear it a little bit.
That's what you do. First of all, you have to say you're sorry and own it. And then second of all, don't take signs from the fans. I get it if they're profanity laced, but something funny like that, what are you doing?
Well, and the whole Dusty Baker coming out and saying, please protect our guys. Shut up, Dusty. You weren't even there. You know what? Deal with it. You took on a job that you know is going to have some kind of target on you, dude. Wear it. Not literally, as far as. I want to go to Vegas, but bet the over on the hit by pitches. I want to.
What is it set at now? Wasn't it like 80 something?
We talked
something?
About it last week. It's like 83 and a half.
Yeah. Taco Salazar said he likes Nate's baby Astros voice. Can we do a little more of that, please, on the show?
Yeah, they're going to throw at us. We better protect us.
Is that how the Astros sound to you right now, Lou Bluma, when they're complaining about this?
Yeah, I like that. More of that.
So do I. That's got to be a new character in the show.
Baby Astro.
That would be good.
All right, let's...
it's not fair.
So let's get into the Royals. I was very happy yesterday because Khalil Lee hit a home run, and I've long wanted him to be part of the Royals outfield. But even more enthused that the Dirty South, Greg Holland, was back at it, and he pitched a clean inning and got the win. And so number one, for Greg Holland to make a successful return, there has to be opportunity. And boy, is there opportunity in the Royals bullpen. And then number two, he's just got to show something, so that's a good first step. What are your expectations that Greg Holland could actually make it back? I'm not talking about anything of what he used to be, but just be in this Royals bullpen and be a successful pitcher.
I think if he has a good spring, I think he's going to be a guy that makes a team, along with Trevor Rosenthal. He pitched the day before. He was lights out throwing strikes up to 98, I think, Rosenthal was.
Be great. Local guy, sure. Family lives here. Let's go, Trevor Rosenthal.
So those two guys, I think, if they have, you know, show enough this spring, being able to command the strike zone a little bit, I think those guys have a really, really legit shot of making this team. And then there's always dark horse guys. You saw, I don't know if you got to see any of it yesterday, but to hear about Zuber. He's another guy that had a great year in the minor leagues.
The Royals like him
A-ball and AA.
Lot.
Not yet, but he's a guy, Rosario, that we saw a little bit at the end of last year, lefty out of the pen, came in and did pretty good yesterday, too. So, I mean, we got 39 pitchers in camp. And I heard Nate say it earlier, maybe about position players, spring training numbers don't maybe mean as much. They do if you're a guy that's battling for a job and you go for 20, like Phillips. Those matter. But in the grand scheme of things, if a guy goes and hits 19 home runs in spring training, that may not carry over to the regular season. I understand that. But for a lot of these guys, for Phillips, for Bubba Starling, for the guys on the bubble that don't have options left, and for some of these 39 pitchers, every outing kind of matters. And what you do in spring does matter. I mean, maybe the numbers don't carry over and mean you're going to have a successful spring, but you got to have a good spring to give yourself a chance to even make a club.
So my feeling on that is when you look at most of the best teams in baseball, they don't have many position battles going into the season. These guys are pros. These guys are big leaguers. These guys know and understand what it takes to get themselves ready for the regular season to truly compete. They know how to focus on the process and not the result. And I thought it was interesting, Bluma, on Friday, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. On Friday, when I went over to the game, Josh Staumont was one of the big stories. He was hitting 102 on the gun. And that gets everybody's attention.
And he had another clean inning again yesterday with no walks.
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
So I asked Matheny about it afterwards. I said, hey, well, somebody else asked him about the radar gun. And he said, look, it's hard not to notice it. When a guy's hitting 102, you're going to notice it. But I asked him, how much do you care about the radar gun? And he says, I care if he's hitting the strike zone with it.
Right.
He said, I don't really, if you're throwing 102 and it's not in the strike zone, it doesn't really matter. he did say that, look, you don't have to be perfect with 102. You don't have to hit the corners.
A little bit more of a margin of error when you can run it up there at 102.
Yeah, so he's like, so get it in the strike zone. But when we talked to Staumont, he said, yeah, the radar gun feels good, but it's more about how much effort it's taking me to get to that.
Right.
And he was more concerned about his spin rate and those types of things in terms of, you know, what actually is the action is on his pitches, because you also know that 102 straight doesn't necessarily isn't unhittable for some guys. I thought so. That's a part is what's interesting to me is listening to the guys talk about what really matters in terms of getting them ready for the season. And they might give up some hits, but it's more about what's coming out of their hand and how it feels when they're doing it.
Well, and that's the crazy thing with the analytics now too, is you can go look at your outing from yesterday and see what your spin rate was and see maybe where you can tweak something maybe with the grip or something to see immediate results. I mean, I have no idea what my spin rate is personally, so I wouldn't know what to do to help raise it or lower it or do that kind of things unless you had the opportunity to get in front of Rap Soto and do it. I mean, what a opportunity for guys to be able to make, you know, minute tweaks in their delivery or something to change the spin rate, to see how their ball changes. And no, it's not about just the radar gun anymore.
Yeah.
Because you know as well, and you just said it. I mean, if you can get your foot down and you catch up to 102, it's straight. But not all 102s are created equally.
Right.
And that's the thing. Maybe you got a taller, longer guy, and he gets more extension out front. That ball might seem like 105 to somebody else because he's taller versus Staumont's 102. So, and not only that, is you're not just going to be able to sit there and pump fastballs all day long, regardless of who it is. You have to be able to have a secondary pitch that you can at least get close or get swings and misses or something like that. So, I mean, Staumont's always been a guy that we know has great stuff. Can he put it together and consistently be able to have a secondary pitch, because he's got the kind of stuff that you want in your bullpen?
And he might go out there in a preseason game or a spring training game and really focus on that secondary pitch and throw it in situations that in a regular season game, if he's really worried about the result, he might not throw that pitch in that situation. This is when you want to try that out.
And in that regard, that's where sometimes spring training numbers don't matter when you're working on something. Maybe a guy's working on a changeup or a splitty or a different, you know, tilt on his slider. And you know that as the pitcher and the pitching coach and the staff.
Yeah.
Us as fans and people watching the game may not have it. Like Brad Keller yesterday giving up that home run to Machado. Maybe he was working on something else.
Yeah.
And he's not so worried about everything else. Felt pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know what? He left one out over the plate to Machado and he gave it up. Now his numbers look bad. Keller's going to make this team. His spring doesn't necessarily matter. But you also don't want Keller to go throw 12 innings and give up 14 earned runs in the spring. I mean, you want to go out there and hone your craft and be able to do what you do and be on a positive note moving into the season.
We've got Jamie Bluma in studio talking baseball on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jamie Bluma, people are interested in baseball lessons. How can they get a hold of you?
They can call us over at Home Field, 2115 East Kansas City Road, Olathe, Kansas, homefieldusa.com, 913-320-4404. Please come out and check out our new facility out by Bass Pro and the Furniture Mall of Kansas out in Olathe. Pretty neat place. A lot of people haven't seen it yet. So come, high school tryouts are Monday. All spring sports, actually, start March 2nd. So baseball in full swing. Not just spring training, but college baseball has been going on for, D1 has a uniform start date, which was the 14th, which was Valentine's Day. On the junior college, NAIA D2, D3 started a little bit before that. Actually went out and watched a little Johnson County baseball last weekend. I've got some kids playing for them, so it's been fun. Ready for the weather to get a little bit better. I'm glad there's no snow, and it's supposed to be maybe 50 or 60 by the weekend.
I was looking through an interesting article from David Schoenfeld, who's been on the show quite a bit from ESPN, and he went through this each team and listed the most interesting non-roster player for all 30 major league teams. Some of them are, you know, prospects like Boston's is Jeter Downs, the shortstop, second base prospect they got in the Mookie Betts trade, who's named after Derek Jeter and now plays for the Red Sox, which is awesome.
He was in that most recent trade, correct?
Hmm?
He was in that most recent trade, yeah.
And then, so the Royals, kind of piggybacking on what we were talking about, He has Greg Holland. He said, this is your classic non-roster invitee, former elite closer on the back end of his career, looking for another moment of glory after a tough season. Holland began last season as a Diamondbacks closer, but eventually pitched his way out of the role and was released in August with a 4.54 ERA. He should make the team, although Ian Kennedy likely remains the club's first option in the ninth inning. The Royals hope Holland finds some control and becomes trade bait in July. And so that's going to be interesting, too, because, look, Ian Kennedy is going to be trade bait because we don't expect this team to contend. And Ian Kennedy, if he pitches anywhere close to what he did last year, and now that there's only 1 year remaining on his contract, it's more palatable for another team to take on. And if he pitches well, then I would expect the Royals to be able to move Ian Kennedy if they so choose. And then that leaves who to take over, you know, as a closer role. Not that it's hugely important, but someone's got to do it. And maybe Greg Holland. But if Greg Holland shows some control, maybe he becomes trade bait. Any of these reclamation projects, you got to have some guys pitch, but the Royals have to be in that mode to be able to continue to rebuild this organization. But it is going to be interesting to see who's able to do that out of the Royals bullpen. Ian Kennedy, they bring him up and as a guy that would be a trade candidate. What's your level of confidence that he can come close to duplicating his success as a closer that we saw last year?
I'm confident. I mean, he really took to it. I think last year was the year to worry about because this was so brand new for him. And now I think now that he's done it and he knows he can do it, he's more prepared for it. I think he's going to be fine. I like the fact that with Rosenthal doing what he's doing and Holland doing what he's doing, yeah, we do have some pieces in that pen where we can maybe down the road trade those guys and get some more prospects in this organization that maybe are closer to big league ready. We got a group of position players we talked about last week that kind of fell on their face a little bit last year. Good to see Melendez hit a home run yesterday. Some of those guys, we obviously know all about the pitching that we have coming with Singer, Cower, Lynch, Bubik, all those guys. And we would love to have a group of position players, you know what, making their way up and that are a little bit more closer to big league ready. So maybe we can plug and play some of those prospects. Not this year, but next year, 2021, 2022, and looking forward to, you know, maybe putting a core group of guys together to do what the last group that came through here, something along those lines. At least get to a chance where we're relevant instead of an afterthought.
And you've got some of these guys that maybe, I mean, still not quite considered prospects, but still trying to establish themselves at the major league level. Everyone in Lebo keeps saying this, that Mike Matheny really loves Ryan O'Hearn. And that's a spot where the Royals need production. They need someone to establish themselves between Ryan O'Hearn, Ryan McBroom. Michael Franco, who I liked a lot when he was in Philly, good power hitting prospect, but he fell out of favor there. And the Royals, and I love them taking a chance on him as a reclamation project, but he's still young enough to where he can play his way back into being someone's everyday third baseman. The Royals are going to give him a chance. Mitchell Brett Phillips, yesterday 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts, things aren't.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have some of those guys have to step up.
Yeah, a lot of those guys that are in that same area, they're trying to still establish themselves.
Well, and Gordon's going to be around because we don't have anybody coming up through the organization from the minor leagues going to take that spot. You know, we don't have that guy that's going to make that step forward. Maybe it's Bubba. Maybe it's Phillips. I mean, we've been waiting on those guys. They're not 23 anymore.
No.
I mean, Nicky Lopez is 25. Ryan O'Hearn's 26. Franco's 27. Hunter Dozier's 28. Solera established himself. I mean, he's the guy
Soler's
that took that
fine.
Step last year, right?
He's only 6 months. He's 6 months older than Bubba.
Bubba's 27.
Think about that.
Brett Phillips is 25. So all those guys are on 25, 26, 27 years old. I mean, Nicky Lopez, I still have high hopes for, just he could be an everyday second baseman. I think Franco could hold it down at third base. And so, but the guy that took the big step last year, or the two guys who took the big steps last year, Soler, feel confident about him. What about Dozier? Do you think that's what he is and he's going to be a guy that the Royals may look to invest in and keep around for a while? Did you see enough from him to think that he's got it figured out?
Offensively, yes. Now let's see what's going to happen now defensively. He's going to switch positions. He's going to stick him in the outfield probably. Let's see how that affects the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he's playing a completely different. You don't want one to affect the other. I mean, keep locked in at the plate like you were last year. Try to stay away from injury, and I like his approach. And
what's his best position, you think?
I actually liked him at third base. I mean, we've got a log jam of people at first base. That can't just be default for everybody. We stick him at first. Now we got Salvi's going to play more first base. Hunter's going to play more first base. Let's see how he does in the outfield. I don't think any of us have seen him do much in the outfield. So let's see how that goes this spring.
He's athletic enough that he should be able to be serviceable out there with the bat that he carried last year. You know, I mean, that's the thing is if you're going to play corner outfield spots and corner infield spots, you're supposed to have a productive bat, right?
Mind you, we had no idea how good that Alex Gordon was going to be in the outfield when he got moved from third base way back when.
Right.
So for a guy with athleticism, we'll see. I mean, that's obviously best case scenario is to turn into a Gold Glove outfielder, but I'd take adequate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
average.
You know, the thing about Alex Gordon was he was an elite athlete. When he was drafted, he was an elite athlete. I remember talking to him about that the 40 times he ran when he was a high school football player. And you're like, okay, this guy's not just a baseball player, he's an athlete. And Dozier is big and strong. Don't know how fast he is, but again, I mean, look, he had 26 home runs last year. He slugged .522. If you are a run production bat like that, you can give up a little bit defensively.
Oh, just take average defensively.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
In the outfield,
make the plays that are hit to you.
Is he going
to
be better in right field maybe than Soler?
He's got to be better than Soler,
that's what
right?
I'm saying.
I mean, because Soler was kind of bad enough that you're like, okay, this is he's really got to hit in order to justify this.
And he did.
Yeah, he did. But
so,
but he was a negative defensively, and I think if Dozier could just be kind of even.
Right.
Defensively, then hit the way he did last year, then you're helping the team.
Well, and you should get an influx of offense from Salvi being back.
Yep.
He's not going to be a high average guy or high on-base percentage or anything like that, but he's going to, get you 20, 25 home runs, which we didn't have. Nice to see Cam Gallagher at the plate yesterday, 3-for-3. So it'll be interesting, too. It's a 26-man roster now, so are they going to carry a third catcher? Is Velarde going to be the guy? I think a lot around the league you might see a lot of people carrying maybe a third catcher. That's something different that we're not going to. And now pitchers have to face three batters minimum, unless it's to finish an inning. So there's going to be
guys are going to be faking injuries though through the course.
Going to be some interesting
illness. My stomach hurts.
Yeah.
I have to throw up. Text line 913-912-4810. A lot of excuses people use while listening to the show. I don't feel good. This is making me sick. Please change the channel. Mm-hmm. Somebody just texted this question in, and so I'm gonna pose this to you and Nate to see what because I think I'm guilty of making this comment. Why are you guys so confident that the Royals are not going to compete this year?
Do you want to go first?
My whole thing is we haven't added a ton. And everybody else in our division seemed to have gotten a little bit better.
And like, what do you mean by what is compete? Like compete for the division lead and have 90 wins? No,
mine's 500.
Be competitive.
Yes.
Oh, they could be competitive and get close. I mean, Mike Boddicker is their win total of
78. Is that what he said? I'll take
that. And if they have 78 wins, that's competitive. They're not terrible. That's not a 100 loss season. So when you say compete, what do you mean by compete? Win 90 plus games and be in a run for a playoff spot? I don't think so. But I think if everything goes right, they could make a run of being a 500 team. And that's competing.
I think so.
It's what's your definition of compete? Nate Buchady.
Well, my answer to that question would be to respond with a question, which is why would you think they can compete this
year? You got a smart ass mouth on you.
I would be if our friendly texter would like to respond with that, I'm all ears. I'd like to hear it. But tell me what you see that says, this team is ready to compete this year. Because, and I'm not saying that I'm not taking any joy in that, but I also want to be a little bit realistic. This team lost 103 games last year.
Right.
You know how bad you have to be to lose 103 games?
Not good.
Look, and I unfortunately got a very up close and personal view of what it's like to lose 100 games 4 years in a row when I was traveling with this team back when they were on our radio station. So I was there every day watching that team. I do think that these last couple 100-loss teams were less embarrassing than those teams in 04, 05, 06 because those teams were a clown show on the field, in the clubhouse, and in every way, shape, and form. I mean, they were a constant blooper reel of incompetence. And I actually don't think you see that with this team. I think, for the most part, it's guys that know how to play the game. They just don't have enough horses. But tell me, I mean, this bullpen was the second to worst bullpen in Major League Baseball last year. In the American League last year. Their ERA as a bullpen was 5.07, and that was actually with a decent closer in Ian Kennedy. Tell me why I should expect that this bullpen is going to take a huge step forward this year.
Because I think there's upside with the lineup, and there's upside with the rotation. But the bullpen holds me back from the bullpen. Right now looks like a mess where they just have thrown a bunch of – there's a bunch of guys there, and they're hoping they can find a couple of quality arms to put behind Ian Kennedy. Could it be better? Sure. But right now it's very difficult to predict a surprisingly good season where they're competing for a playoff spot because the bullpen just doesn't look good on paper.
Yeah,
and that's all we can go by right now.
And I don't want that first month just to get out of the gate and just flop again. I mean, compete early. We gave up a ton of leads early in the season last year on some games that hurt. You know, and I think if you can just get out of the gate 8-8. You know, something like that, those first 2 weeks of the season, and then there's a little bit. I'm always optimistic, and maybe optimistic to a fault, but, I mean, with Duffy, Keller, Montgomery, and Junis, I mean, those guys all have great upside. They all four do what we want them to do. I mean, that's a decent starting four. We're going to mishmash that fifth starter together with whoever, who knows who, bullpen.
Maybe you.
No.
Mike Boddicker wants him to go with an opener. On every fifth day.
Okay, it's just
Mike.
I did hear the idiot comment.
I've got Mike warming up to that opener idea. I'm gonna we'll break him down out. By the All-Star break.
It's just a situation where this team has lost 100 games in back-to-back seasons, 103 and 104, going back to 2018. It's really hard to lose 100 games. You have to be really, really bad to lose 100 games. To go from losing 100 games to contending for a playoff spot, you have to be .500 to contend in a bad division. In a good division, .500 doesn't even contend for you.
I think contend is a whole different word than compete.
Okay. I mean, do I think they're going to be better? I don't think they're going to lose 100 games this year. But let's say they improve by 10 wins. They
make
still,
a run at .500, I think. He just sent a text message.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
a huge jump.
Right.
That's a huge jump from where they are. Like, if they win 10 more games than they did a year ago, they're still in the 90 loss category. Okay, so, like, and I'm just saying, what do you look at and say they added in these areas? Once these pitching prospects get up to the big leagues, and you want to say, hey, look, they've got legit frontline pitchers in the system now, and that's going to trickle down to helping the bullpen, that's fine. But these guys aren't scheduled to start the season on the big league roster.
No.
I mean, I think at best case scenario, two or three of these guys are on the roster by the second half of the season, and then they're still probably going to take some lumps, I'm guessing.
And I don't need them rushed anyway.
No.
There's no reason to rush
them. None whatsoever. That's the thing, is this is a long-term deal. I think they can win more games this year than they did a year ago. I think it's a fair goal to say that we want to lose less than 90 games this year.
I want to see those guys, that group of guys, force their way into the big leagues.
Yes.
Because they've done what they've supposed to do and put up numbers in AA, AAA, and now it's time for them to see the ultimate test. Not, hey, we gave this guy this much money, we got to get him up here. We're not there yet with them. They're not even have to be protected yet. They're in their second full year. Let's see what they can do. If they deserve to be up here, I think they'll show that.
And look, maybe I'm crazy. You know, again, I'm not saying that this rotation is going to be great or anything like that, but when you look at the front four, there's not a spot where I say, oh, I can't even watch that. That's terrible. That's a disaster every fifth day. Danny Duffy, Jake Junis, like Danny Duffy's established. He's not terrible. Now, will he meet the expectations we've always placed upon him? We don't know. But
can he pitch for the whole year?
He has flashes.
He stays healthy. He's good. Yeah. Junis and Keller still have upside that lead you to believe that we have not seen the best of them yet.
Yep.
And Mike Montgomery is a solid pitcher that's not in over his head, that can get people out, that will give you a chance to win. Again, I'm not saying he's going to go out there and...
He is excited. I sat with him at FanFest for an hour, and he is excited about getting the ball every fifth day.
And knowing his role and going.
Know exactly what he's doing. He's chomping at the bit and ready to compete for this team.
And so you think about some of the rotations they had when they were, like when you're talking about, where they were embarrassingly bad, and there wasn't a guy you'd want to, maybe one, but he would be loaded with guys that had no business in any starting rotation in baseball. You can't say that about this team. And then, now the fifth starter, I don't know what that's going to be, but that's not, and the lineup has some really good spots in it, some really exciting, I love watching Jorge Soler, Whit Merrifield. I'm excited about Mondesi. Let's see if Dozier can back that up.
And let's have some of these new acquisitions surprise us.
And Salvi's back. And I like Mikel Franco. But then I get to the bullpen and I say, hey, Ian Kennedy. And
yeah. I mean, if their bullpen was just decent last year, they don't lose anywhere close to 100 games.
Right.
If the bullpen is just decent. But there are still flaws in the team as well. Like, we're excited right. about a lot of these guys. Like, we hope Dozier can back up what he did last year. But you don't have any proven production in right field. That's a big-time production spot.
First base is a hole.
First base is an absolute hole. That's a spot where you need in today's baseball to have some serious run production. Franco's a guy that is the perfect kind of guy for the Royals to try to sign in the current situation that they're in, and he might have a big bounce back year. But you can't sit there and say, well, we're counting on big-time production at a third base. Alex Gordon at this stage in his career is not going to give you big-time run production at third base unless all of a sudden he takes another big step forward at the stage in his career when he probably should be taking a step back. I'm just trying to evaluate it objectively. Can each one of those guys have a good year? Yeah, they can. If you're Vegas.
if we're going to try to be 500, they have to.
They all have,
just woke up. If you're yeah, Vegas, like, oh,
huh?
To expect
say?
All those guys to hit their ceiling in the same year.
I've already had two people ask what yeah. you like the over-under, by the way. Find the number.
What is
go
the,
ahead,
is
Nate.
The,
I'm sorry.
What is
we had him engaged. We had him engaged for a second, yeah. so I had to capitalize yeah. on that.
Good move. Good move right. on your
Speaking
part.
Of the,
but you're just trying to be cautiously optimistic yeah. with everything. It's fine.
I also will not be the one when they're halfway through the season, if they're where I think they are going, Mike Matheny's a dope and Dayton Moore needs to go Whoa. And all that stuff, because there will be people that do that.
Wild accusations of Nate Buchanan.
I just want to see them take a step forward this year, get the kids up that are pitchers at some point in the second half of the season. Hopefully they earn their way up there. And then you can start to say, okay, now the ball's rolling back in the right direction.
We have Nate Buchanan calling people dopes right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you listening to Jamie Bluma in studio. Again, Bluma, tell people where they can go to get baseball lessons from you as the weather gets better. We get closer to spring.
Homefieldusa.com, 2115 East Kansas City Road, Olathe, Kansas, 66061. Or give us a call, 913-320-4404. You can always shoot me a message via Twitter, Facebook. I think everybody in town has my cell phone number, so I don't probably need to write, right here on the air. But if you need a lesson, you can get a hold of me. The high school tryouts are Monday, so if you need something this week, you better get a hold of us quick. It's busy.
Real quick.
Busy.
We're going to have the new T-Bones owner on at 9:30.
I'm excited about that. I talked to Chris Brown last week.
What'd he say?
It's good. He's excited.
Is he coming in today? I love the Border Patrol.
Is he in today, too, with him?
I don't know. I know that Will Gregory's coming in, which,
oh, nice.
He's a PR man extraordinaire.
Guru.
Is yep. he? He's a guru.
PR guru.
So Mark Brandmeier is going to be in at 9:30 to talk about the T-Bones.
Nice.
Baby.
You know where I was for lunch yesterday was Chapels. When's the last time you've been at
Chapels? Oh, man, it's been a long time since I've been down
was
there.
Was it last year?
So shout out to the group I had lunch with yesterday.
Did you get a makeover inside?
Just new ownership. A little bit of a makeover.
Hangover.
There's so much stuff there. You can't see it all. It's unbelievable. I was with a group of vets yesterday with the Valor program up north. Sean McGraw, who's a fantasy camp guy, got me involved. I sat down with those guys to help out with some stuff from Red, White, and Bluma. So shout out to Dave and Aaron and Deborah from the Valor program. Yesterday, thank you. I told them to listen intently today, so I'm going to do it already, and they will. So excited to work with those guys. Some moving forward, so I'm pretty excited.
So the Royals now, as they continue with spring, what's up? So we talked about obviously the bullpen with Greg Holland and Trevor Rosenthal, and see if those guys could reestablish themselves. What else are the main either battles? You got Ryan McGroom and Ryan O'Hearn at first base. Players, anything else that you are most interested in monitoring as the spring progresses?
Outfield. Across the board.
Give me your starting outfield now that you'd like to see.
Probably Gordon in left, Merrifield in center, and Dozier in right. As of right now, I want Phillips to hit his way onto this team. Pull for Bubba.
Bubba went 2 for 4 yesterday.
Correct. I mean,
let's go, Bubba.
So that's going to be interesting. I mean, after those five guys, what do we have? There's no prospects on the horizon. There's no. What else is there? Tell me. Give me somebody.
By the way, because you know how much I like to jack with Jake, right?
Jack with Jake.
Do you know right now the level of excitement that he's experiencing right now with John Moxley standing right behind him? See, I am going to embarrass you. Look at his face. He doesn't even. He smiles like once a month. And right now, look at him.
I'm one of the baddest-ass dudes ever standing right
there. But when's the last time you've seen him even happy or like smile like that?
Usually, when I walked in today, he was
because
excited.
Of this.
Yeah, he's been excited all day.
But look at him right now. He looks like he's about ready to sit on Santa's lap.
I mean, we finally have a real guest here.
There it is.
Ouch.
That's what I was waiting
well
for.
Taken.
Well, and we don't need his phone number either because he's here. So right. that's positive for us as well.
Right. Let's take a break so Jake could kind of get himself together.
I'll get out of here.
This is going to be a disaster.
You might want to stick around for this, Bluma.
Oh, right. I'll stick around.
No, you need to see that, you know, because guess what? Guess who's going to be asking questions in this interview? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our third co-host, Jake.
Nice.
He's been preparing for this most of his life, and now it's time to happen. Well, Jamie Bluma, former Royals reliever, thank you so much for the time, my man. We'll talk to you
next
week.
Appreciate it, as always.
Getting closer to opening day,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's right. Weather's getting better.
Opening day.
We're going to take a break. Back after this with John Moxley in studio. Jake, beside himself with excitement, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.